Hi, everyone. Welcome to Appliance Advisors with Yale Appliance. I'm Francesco, joined again, as always, by Dennis McDonald. How are you doing this week, Dennis?
Doing great, Fran. How about you?
Very good. Very good. Another exciting week in the appliance industry. You know, we're all great here.
You know that.
Exactly. Come on. What more can we ask for here? So listen, we're going to switch it up just a little bit. You know, listen, of course, we're going to talk appliances here, but we're going to switch it up just a little bit. You know, we're always talking about big appliances and, you know, the main components, you know, the big stuff. Like you always say, Americans, you know, we like the big, you know, the bigger, the better for Americans. But a lot of times, you know, what we find and really kind of some of the categories that have got more popular is we've noticed it's the smaller appliances and kind of those little pieces that customers aren't always thinking about that at the end of the day makes such a huge difference in the final product and really the look and also how your kitchen functions. So it's not always the big fridge and, you know, the range and all those things. Of course, those are obviously extremely important, but those little smaller appliances can make all the difference in how your kitchen functions. And that's everything from smaller countertop appliances to disposals and things like that. So we're really going to talk about some of the most popular smaller appliances that are out there today and some things that we truly feel will make a huge difference in your home, how your kitchen functions, not only your kitchen, some of these things really can kind of affect the whole home for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think the devil's in the details, and those are the things that sometimes are just those little tweaks can make a huge difference in how you live daily. And hopefully you'll be as excited about some of the things we see. And there really are some great new innovations. The beauty of most of the stuff we're going to talk about today, we actually have in stock as well. So not a pitch for sales, but the beauty on this stuff specifically is, you know, you'll see the brands kind of like how we go to market just in general. We do curate here. So we really try to pay attention to particular partners that we think share the same ideals in terms of service and after sale support and, you know, customer experience. So, you know, we look at a lot of them, but we take in few and we really are passionate about the ones we do and like to talk about all the reasons why we are. So let's get into it.
Yeah, let's start. We got a lot of products to get into. So today we're going to start really with Miele and their vacuums and specifically their stick vacuum. So Miele, extremely well known for vacuums and, you know, really the best vacuum brand that's out there. And this is kind of a little bit of a newer product for them over the last few years or so. So if you want to talk about the Miele stick vac.
Yeah, I mean, Miele, as you said, has been making great vacuums forever. We always joke about, well, we don't joke, we talk about the fact that Miele canister vacs are what we would consider a lifetime vacuum. I'll get into that because we'll show a picture in it coming up. But so they've had a great heritage in making very high quality, long lasting vacuums and kind of some industry differentiated features. The stick vacuum really was their first foray into it, at least into the U.S. market introduction. And this is kind of a loaded market, right? You see them out there from Dyson, you see them from different brands, so on and so forth. And Bissell, I mean, there's a ton, Electrolux. I've owned other ones, you know, because the idea of this quick cleanup, easy to handle, you don't have to break out the cord and plug it in and wheel this big thing around the house. And it's great because it can hang up on a wall. So they came out with this thing. And really the cool part they rethought a lot about certain features. It can break down into three different ways. And while it doesn't show it here, it can be a really small handheld unit doing things like stairs. It could do things like drapes. That bottom canister can be moved to the top or bottom, depending. Some people find it a little easier to manage if the canister itself is towards the top, a little lighter. It just depends on the person. So a lot of flexibility. But really, it's the suction story again, right? So it has a beater brush in there. It's not electronically controlled in the head to the point that where when we talk about Miele canister vacs, many of their models actually have a motor at the head that are really moving that brush. But this has very good suction. And Fran, I know you have one.
Yeah.
I have one. I mean, when I say that, we don't get them for free. Anyone that's thinking at home, we've paid for our own. Yeah. That's how much we believe in it. And it's really phenomenal. I find I use it. It takes up so much. It doesn't have a vacuum bag. It's bagless. And the suction lasts throughout the whole experience. A lot of times it's that canister fills, you'll get a reduction in suction. You really don't here. It's light. It charges well. It holds a long charge. I can do a whole house with this if we want to go through quick over hardwood. And really that's what it's intended for. You can do hardwood. You can do entry mats. You can do sheer blinds. And you can certainly go over rugs, you know, light Berbers, things like that. If you had an oriental rug, you could go over it. I'm going to tell you the beater brush is probably going to stop to a grinding halt. You'll still get some good suction and it'll take things away. But but I find it does 95% of the everyday cleaning I need. I don't know what you think, Fran.
Absolutely. Lopi, you know, we use, honestly, we use it just about every single day. Way, you know, and we have a canister back, but we found when we got this one, just because it's so easy that we really almost use that. We really use that more than even the canister back at this point, especially for that quick cleaning, you know, the kitchen. Even low pile carpets definitely works really well. You can feel it kind of when you go onto those carpets, you can feel the ramp up in that motor too, kind of automatically adjusts. So it kind of gives a little bit, you know, it kind of will get the suction a little bit better when it needs to as well. It really works great. I've used them in the car. You can kind of take it apart, kind of clean the car nice and easy. It comes with the, you know, similar tools, like a small crevice tool, a smaller brush. It really kind of gives you everything you need. And they do have some different models that, you know, from, you know, obviously entry level to higher end, but really the performance is going to be very similar. You're going to get some different things there, like light on the head on the floor. You'll get lighting there. You'll get an extra battery on one of them. But quite honestly, the batteries last pretty well. You know, we never really run out of battery ever when we're using it in that one time shot. And like you said, it's so easy to just kind of hang it right on the wall, charges right then and there too. So really kind of nice features, and something we use all the time.
Yeah. When you get to the top of the line machine, also has a great stair tool. And I think that's important. If you have a runner going up and down the stairs, something small where the actual head fits well. I'll tell you, I don't own that tool. I use the head that it comes with. I seem to get along with it fine. I break the wand down and make it really small. But aside from that, though, it does have a specific tool option you get on the top of the line model. Look, it buys an accessory. And just for perspective, folks, you're talking 300s to 600s here in price, from lowest to highest. You're not talking, you know, outrageous amounts of money. So pretty cool. Why don't we go to the next one, the actual canister?
Yep. So the next one's going to be the canister back.
So here we're going to just talk about the whole story here, why we like them. I mean, this is a true story. This really, really happened. So kind of cheesy. Years ago, you know, vacuum trainers would train on this. And I had seen someone a few times, and he was a big guy, actually stand and jump up and down on this canister vacuum to show its quality. I mean, you know, kind of made me question the appliance industry as a whole at that point. But I was kind of impressed. He was a big guy, right? So the story here is multiple models. The good news is their suction. That doesn't change. So it has a high-powered motor through all of them, really the same power motor. What does change is at the head itself, some of them electronically controlled. So truly, there is an electronic connection. Some of the more basic models are just using that velocity from that powerful main motor to move the head or the beater brush. When you get to the better machines, they actually have electronic connection to the actual wand itself, and that gives you a second motor, or really a grind, so really deep, heavy Orientals carpets. I would always tell people this. If you don't believe in a Miele vacuum, take the Mac vacuum you love. I don't care if it's a Dyson. I don't care what it is. Then take a Miele. Run it up and down that same clean spot you thought you just want, and look in the bag. And if you don't believe you to have the wrong vacuum in your hand when it's not a Miele, you can return it. I mean, it's amazing. Second to that story, though, was we talked about a guy jumping up and down. I had a lady come into the store one time, she's holding a cracked Miele. So I've seen this big guy jump up and down. She says, "This thing cracked." And I got to tell you, we're certainly customer facing, but and focused, but I have a hard time believing this. I mean, I've seen this thing. I've had one, two over the life in two different places and dropped them up and downstairs, nothing. And we're pretty rough on this stuff. And I said, "All right, you just got to tell me. I'm going to help you. But how did this crack?" She goes, "Oh, no. It wasn't your fault." She goes, "And the machine's working great. Just that casing's cracked." She goes, "I have a Ford Expedition." That's the bigger Explorer, that big sucker. Bringing it to my mother's because I only use my Miele vacuum. That's, I swear by it. I'm going to help my mother clean her house. I left the tailgate to my Expedition open, backed up, and invariably backed over with the 4-ton vehicle, the Miele canister. She goes, "It's still sucking like a champ. It's working great." She goes, "It's just driving me nuts that it's cracked. Can I get it? Is there any way to fix that?" I mean, that's a true story. So that kind of talks about the vacuum, but we like this. If you've never had one, honestly, if you buy any other vacuum, you replace them, depending on how often you use them, 3 years, 5 years, 7 years. They don't hold up well. This truly is the last vacuum you'd own. They have HEPA filtration, tons of crevice tools, bigger canister, small. So this selection in there, specifically made for cats and dogs, if you have a lot, you know, just focusing on that pet removal of fur and whatnot. So kind of a cool thing. I don't know if you have anything else there, Fran.
Yeah, and like you said, you know, price points all around from really kind of not even entry level, but really the type of carpeting you have. Because if you have just, you know, mostly hardwoods or area rugs, you don't need necessarily a cat and dog that has the electronic brush and all those things. So they really offer a lot for a lot of different areas. And like you said, I mean, really just a great vacuum, like just little things like you can see in the vent there above the controls, you know, the air exhausts from the top. So it's not blowing around the dirt everywhere as you're vacuuming. You know, a lot of these other vacuums, you feel the air coming around, and as you're cleaning, you know, it's kind of blowing it all around everywhere, you know, so little things like that. They've definitely, you know, they've stayed with kind of the bag in there, but it really is a much better cleanability story. And if you look at those things, where you open up that vacuum and you take out the bag, it is so clean in the inside of that vacuum. There's almost like no dirt, no dust, because the bag is so tightly sealed. You take it out, you throw it out, and you're done. And it stays really nice and clean.
Yeah, they did try, and I'll be honest, it didn't go over well. They tried to make a couple of bagless canister vacs. So if you're really doing some deep research, you may see them out there. They don't sell well. I honestly think you get the bag and you go. And I just want to, I'm not going to get to it now, just Shannon and Pat, but Jason Stein's asked some questions about True Columns. I will answer it by the time we hang up, Jason. So if you want to hang on, we're just going to keep going for a little bit here. All right, what's the next piece you like, friend?
So next one here is the Uni pizza ovens. I know you're
who doesn't love pizza? I talk about it, I think, most shows. But anyways, this would be a 16-inch model, but they make a 12 and a 16-inch model. We've kind of seen the whole evolution of Uni. Started with really a pellet-fed machine with an electronic ignition or battery, actually, ignition, where you could light it with a match. It was okay, kind of clunky, still exists, called the Coda, and you had to continue to fill this hopper, and it was a lot of work. Really now what we're seeing is a good trend on them. Legs fold flat, simple carrying case, take it to your tailgate, put it out on a backyard deck. They actually make a table now if you wanted one from them. Bring it in, bring it out. So really kind of portable, fun. Cooks an amazing pizza. I think it gets up to 932 degrees. Super quick, super fast. Pizza in like 3-4 minutes kind of thing, tops. Pretty good recycle time for what it is and in the price point that it's at. And now it can be bulk propane or it can be, regular portable propane. As well, it could be pumped to regular gas. So you've started to see an evolution. This is the pizza model that we stock. They are starting to come out with some multi-cooker models that are a little bit bigger in physical size that could, you know, maybe bake a casserole, do some other things than just pizza. Yeah. But beyond that, really cool thing, and it makes a nice pizza.
Yeah, definitely.
Affordably, by the way.
Exactly. So next, you know, Wolf kind of countertop appliances. You know, there's a number of different Wolf countertop appliances. There's a couple that we kind of focus on that are the more popular ones. And the first one here is kind of the Wolf Gourmet Griddle.
Yep, love this thing. Why do I love it? Well, you know, again, pancakes, bacon, eggs, you know, whatever you want on there.
All the good stuff.
But here's really why I like it. It's a very popular question for us for a customer to come in and say, I'm thinking about buying a 48-inch Wolf range, say, or a 36-inch Wolf range. Should I do 6 burners or 4 burners and a griddle? That's how you can opt to buy a Wolf. So here's my saving point every single time. You could buy this griddle for about $400. And it's a great accessible disposal. Here's what I think about griddles on pro ranges. I think they're cool. We think about all the things I talk about, Sunday morning breakfast, maybe a stir fry, all those things. We think about the cooking aspect and the emotional side of that, but how about the cleaning aspect when it's built into your range top? As well, you spend about $1,000 to $1,200 more than a 6-burner 36-inch stove to get one that has 4 burners with this griddle feature. So my point is you're spending $1,200 more on a running average to get a griddle built into a pro range. How about you get 6 burners, save the $1,200, spend $400 or $500 here on a Wolf griddle, and then when company comes over, if it's dirty, you pick it, take it away. You can bring it to the sink to clean it and wipe it down over the sink. Just a lot more functionality, and I think you'd find that you don't need 6 burners every day, but when you do, or you need a 5th burner or somewhere to make gravy on a holiday with some other burners going, the griddle just isn't cutting it then. So I really like this piece. I like it as a standalone piece. I like it for those people that say, I'm thinking about doing a pro range. Do I do all burners or do I get that griddle feature? I think you can kill 2 birds with 1 stone and save a bunch of money.
Yeah, definitely nice for the flexibility aspect.
Nate Yangle's here. He's asking about cafe. Nate, you got to wait, man. I got you. Just hang tight.
We're there. Coming.
They're coming. All right, so Wolf Gourmet, one of your favorites, this multifunction cooker. Take it away.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is a really cool appliance too, and it's, you know, it's kind of the slow cooker, the poverty, you know, all those things kind of reimagine, you know. So it is a slow cooker. I mean, you can do just like your normal slow cooker, put a roast in there all day, but that's really just the beginning of it. You know, it has a lot of different cooking modes. It's sous vide. You can cook sous vide in there. You know, cook in a water bath. So really, you know, sous vide is really kind of, if you go to a restaurant and get a steak, a lot of times they're making that in sous vide, and that really allows you to cook to a specific temperature. So whatever temperature you want that meat to be at, it's going to make it in that exact temperature in the water bath. In addition, you actually can sear right in the multi-cooker. So right in the stainless steel in there. So you don't have to even bring it to an oven and sear there. You can sear right in there. You can even saute in this. So you can saute anything that you're cooking right in that stainless steel. So it even has a built-in rice cooker. So really a lot of cool features kind of all into one product. Has a temperature probe there. So really allows you to do a lot of different things. So everything that you ever knew about a slow cooker, but really kind of a lot more that really adds the sous vide, the searing and sauteing capabilities, the rice cooking aspect of it. It has programmable modes in there. So it really gives you a lot of nice features and a pretty easy to use display too, to kind of program all those things. So for everything that it does, it actually is pretty easy to use as well. I like this one a lot.
Love it. Okay, what do we got next, Fran?
Oh, and actually that's the sous vide. So I forgot we had that on there. So you can see right there. Yeah, so right in the water bath, cook it right there in the sous vide mode.
Yeah, it's a great feature. All right, so this is a cool thing. Everyone talks about ice all the time. Do ice makers work in a refrigerator? How often do they break? Which one do I buy? What type of ice? This idea of chewable ice that you see here, drinkable, chewable, there's all different words for it. But this type of ice is very popular nowadays. Now, they make them in big built-in units that can cost $5,000, okay? But here's a great solution. It sits right on your counter. You can get one with that reservoir you see to the right or not. The reason for the reservoir to the right is you can make three times more ice. This little unit we have in every single showroom, right? When you get in live, that's where our customers get a glass of water and we want them to try this ice machine or have ice. Part of the reason is because the unit works great. It doesn't break. It has a light inside. It looks pretty classy for what they are on the counter. They're not like this ugly thing when they're actually on the counter. It tilts down on the front. You have a scoop. You can fill your ice. This little thing makes 1 pound of ice every hour, 24 pounds every 24 hours. And that would be the reason left and right. Like most GE appliances, Nate Yagel had asked about cafe appliances, which we'll talk later, these small appliances. But on the platform of GE, we know they're big into this Wi-Fi enabled everything. So this thing you can program to turn on at 10 o'clock in the morning, going to take an hour, and you have ice by lunchtime or whatever you want to do. So kind of it has a lot of features. That Wi-Fi enabled will tell you when the ice harvest is full. So, you know, it's kind of a smart, cool, inexpensive solution to ice right on your counter. Really kind of easy to deal with. Yeah. Cool. GE air fryers. We know air fryers have been all the rage. This one has a few unique features, Fran, that I know you like that you want to talk about. But just this air fryer, I'll tell you, really great, great unit. You know, when we talk about cafe, my daughter, I bought her one of these for her. She's in college and an apartment with four of the girls, and they tell us they don't use the oven at all. They simply use the air fryer all day long. You know, I've already been. It's been determined that I better have one when she comes home for break.
Yeah, these things are great. And it's, you know, what I like, honestly, about the GE one, too, it's a really nice looking air fryer, too. So it has, you know, all the really kind of typical air frying features and things like that. The nice thing with this one, it is one of the bigger ones where you can do, you know, multiple racks at once. You know, they have kind of the ones that are more basket driven. This one actually comes with that you can slide into one of the racks, like a smaller basket for French fries and things like that. But in general, I mean, you know, it is just, you know, you can do a lot of different things in here. We have one at home as well. And, you know, with the kids too, you know, we not even only with the kids, but we cook everything from chicken nuggets and French fries. We've made vegetables in there, roasted vegetables, you know, so you can make a lot of different things in here. And it kind of, again, a lot of these things go back to flexibility, and it kind of gives you some flexibility almost depending on your kitchen to have almost like a second oven too, really a second oven to be able to do some of those things, and you're not taking up space in your main oven. So these are great for everyday use or when you're cooking a big meal or, you know, a holiday, anything like that. They really are good for kind of all those different occasions.
Let's go to Jason Stein's question here because it's relative to what we're talking about for the moment. But he asked, is the GE Profile Opal ice maker durable? Jason, as I said, we have three of these in every store. We see thousands of customers a week. So this thing gets worked out. We've had them on display for about a year now, a little over using them. But 1,000 customers a week and on our showrooms is probably like 10 years in your home. We haven't had an issue with any of them. I've been amazed at how well they produce, how simple they are. Our front desk greeters and receptionists just fill these things up and they go. So while they haven't been out a long time, Jason, we know that ice is finicky. I would tell you if you had $20,000 and were going to buy a Sub-Zero from me, I'd tell you it has an ice maker issue like most every brand in the world. This little guy I like because it's inexpensive. It's on the counter. You can put filtered water into it if you wanted to. It has a filter. You can control, my point, the unit, and it's done phenomenal as long as we've had it. We are probably, when we're using this thing, we're probably getting 10 iced harvests a day out of these things. Yeah. I mean, most homes aren't doing that or even close to it.
Yeah.
So hopefully that gave you some sense. As long as we know, we've been really happy. All right, go back now to this Miele countertop coffee maker. You know, Miele has always been known for coffee machines. This is really a luxury coffee machine. True, you know, I don't know, coffee, Starbucks, if you will, rated machine kind of thing, where it sits on the counter, it can do cappuccino. That you're looking right here at a frothing wand, and it has some milk there that it can draw in and actually make fresh drinks with frothed milk. Water filter, Wi-Fi enabled if you want to turn it off and on, two cups at a time. Some of the models even have a cup warmer up top. So it gives you all the luxury benefits of a built-in unit on a countertop model. And really, people ask me, okay, how much do these things cost? Fran, I think this one is around $1,699.
Yeah, they have a few different versions. So like this specific one's more in the mid to like $2,500 on this one, but they have ones that are $1,699 and they kind of spread all out. And like you said, some of those differences, you know, this one has the better, this is definitely the better machine for frothing and using the milk and things like that versus the more entry level one, the cup warmers, the controls on these things and being able to program. So they have, you can have up to 8 favorites on this one specifically too. So, you know, we all like our coffee a little bit different, you know, so you don't have to go in and set exactly how you want your coffee made every day. You put, you know, my coffee, you have your Dennis's coffee, you click it, you can do it from your app, you know, you click it, there you go, done, ready to go.
Yeah. So they've always been known for the big, expensive, built-in, but industry leading feature rich coffee machines. This just gives it to you on a counter for less money than the built-in machines, mm-hmm. with the flexibility of people that get nervous to say, what if this thing ever breaks down the road?
Right.
And I've built it into my cabinets, or I can't fit it in my cabinets, but I love coffee. It's a solution there.
Yeah.
Why don't we head to the next piece? All right, so Cafe appliances. Here you go, Nate. So this Cafe, you know, Cafe, if you know Cafe, G Cafe, they're a great brand. They've been a great brand out there in stainless, you know, kind of a relaunch brand over the last few years, winning a lot of awards at the National Kitchen and Bath Show and whatnot for design and trend and feature. And we like its cooking appliances. Over the last few years, it's really migrated to also having these options for some finishes. You know, matte whites, matte blacks, brasses, mixed metals, things like that. They continue to expand that line and it has done tremendously well, tremendously well. So they really played off of that. When you think about these countertop appliances, right, it's the yin and yang of form and function. You want it to use, but what is it going to look like on the counter? You know, what is it? A lot of people have to do these fancy hideaway shelves, or they put a what we call an appliance garage that kind of slides down kitty cornered a lot of times to hide where appliances so you don't see them out on your counter. They took a different approach on it. They're like, let's make them beautiful. Let's make them affordable and make them beautiful. And that's what Cafe's really done. So we just got finished talking about that Miele machine. Here's kind of their top of the line espresso barista style machine. This is Italian made, you know, it has a grind hopper, like everything that you'd find in more of the high end machines, doing very well. This unit hasn't been out a whole heck of a lot of time, now about 6-7 months in the color finishes, but it's selling tremendously well. So a lot of people that have bought Cafe colors can accent it. Or if you just bought stainless and you just don't want to put a big, maybe in your mind, ugly stainless piece up there, this has it. Has it in a bunch of different finishes and colors. This is going to be right around $600, high fives, and really give you that barista style quality on a countertop unit that you can live with. I think we even have a picture of maybe just some of the ideas you could do with it. This is kind of their lineup today.
Yeah.
A few of the different finishes. This will continue to be added to. So that air fryer we talked about earlier can come in these couture colors, if you will, or these, you know, these finishes. So mixed metal, stainless with brass, black and brass, matte white and black brass. but in a whole suite form. So everything from a regular thermal drip carafe to, you know, an espresso machine, just straight espresso machine with a frother, and you see in the far right, or a semi-automatic, more of a barista type of machine with a ground grind your beans, just like you would if you went to a high-end coffee shop, and then right down to the toaster. So that's kind of their lineup. And I think we do have one more picture of how this can kind of style in a kitchen. There's the toaster. It's a toaster. Here, here's an idea, you know, different kitchen, but on a counter, you can really start to see some of the depth of the finish. They've done a lot. They've taken a lot of time and care into making the actual aesthetic value something that you'd actually be proud to put on your counter, not just hide it. So let's talk about this. We have nothing else. We're going to keep going here. A Yale disposer. Listen, disposals are disposals. The only reason why I say that would put this up there is this is like, this spins 2,700 RPM. That's roughly 1,000 more RPM than any InSinkErator you're going to buy for about $100 to $200 less. What makes a disposal loud is the fact that the impeller is weakly powered and you hear the grinding when the food hits it. These are stainless steel impellers. They spin very, very quick, so the noise is less because it doesn't spend a lot of time on the blade. Corded units, jam resistant. Some of them now, you know, they're top of the line machine, 10-year warranty. They make them in all different styles, but half horsepower, 3/4, and full. We put it up here as much. We've been selling them for years.
Yeah.
They don't break. They're way less money. They're, in good times, they're the best disposer. But in times when you can't get InSinkErator or they've jacked the prices through the roof, this is just an awesome option.
And one thing we wanted to show you really was on the installation of these disposals.
Here we go. Yeah. So this is an idea that we love. Air switches. People thought about little cool things that can help them in a kitchen. An air switch, see that to the right there? That's a little button that you press. So many times people are on an island and when they're literally a kitchen island, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes in a kitchen project, you feel like you're on an island. But if you truly have an island where you have a sink, and it's where do I put the switch to turn the disposal on? So you have two options. The old style, which is still out there. We sell them where you stick the plunger in, if you will, the cover, and you got to twist it. Great. That was supposedly safe. That was the whole concept. But you're sticking your hand many times through the schmutz of the sink. It's not a fun thing to do. It's messy. Or your other option were to mount a switch in the lower cabinets and kind of with wet, greasy hands, if you can imagine it, open that cabinet, get down there and flip a kill switch or a switch that you have in the lower. Neither of those two are ideal, okay? Truth be told, many times, fun fact, the ones that have the cover controls or these top switches actually have less of a warranty. So if you bought a 1 horsepower with a cover switch versus one that had some type of a what we call a continuous feed or a wall switch, the one with the cover would be less because people's tendency was while they were in the sink, while they're in there dirty, to turn the switch on and then turn the water on. And so those machines had a tendency to run dry a little bit longer. Counter to that, is if you had it on a rear wall, it had a switch up on the surface, you were more apt to turn the faucet on, turn the water on, then hit the switch. Okay. Digress a bit, but this air switch solves all that. What we do is we cut a small hole in the counter. That air switch drops in there. That little plastic cord attaches to the switch on your disposal and to the actual little button you see there, okay? Mm-hmm. And all you're doing is you take your regular disposal. You see on the black, I'm pointing to my screen like you can see me pointing. Yeah. That black box, we're going to plug the disposal into the box. We're going to plug the air switch into the box. So everything's plugged in. And all you're doing is you're pressing that little thing, a gulp of air goes down and it turns the disposal on. So you have no more switches. You don't have to use the big thing. It's clean. It comes in a ton of finishes. And it's just a really cool, classy way to turn on your disposal. If you're worried about childhood safety, I'm going to tell you that is it's not hard to push in, but an adult would need to push it in. At the point that someone is turning that on, I don't think there's going to be an accident. If it were, it would be very deliberate. It would be a mistake more than an accident. They I don't know what they were thinking at that point.
Definitely easier to flip a switch than to push that down.
Very clean.
No question.
And also last thing there is a lot of people have decorative tile, even on a rear wall. And where do they cut in that switch into a nice glass tile or a mosaic or something like that? This eliminates that. You put it right into your counter. You don't need that switch on the rear wall and off you go. Cool.
So
Love this unit. We talk about water filtration. Mm-hmm. It's a big thing. It was a big thing all the time. It's certainly a big thing again in COVID because people just get more aware of what they're putting in their body or just being healthier and just germs in general. A lot of times when we did water filter, you do it two ways. If you do it in your fridge, you're not filtering anything, just taste. It didn't do anything for the quality of the food that's going to make it any more safe. It's not really removing contaminants to the level that could hurt you or any bacterial claims. It's just masking the odor and the taste of the water. It's counting on your water already being safe. A lot of people have fears, old pipes, different things coming through the house. They want to make sure they get clean water. That's why you do so much bottled water these days still. So this is a great thing. So what people would do in the past, if they weren't doing it in their fridge, they would have this point-of-use dispenser, right? We've all seen them. Kind of a dated thing. Still sell a few, but not a lot, where you had your faucet, and then somewhere you had this little mini faucet that you'd go up and fill with water. We know they were slow. We know that the filters were expensive. Their filters were a lot of work to change. It was just clunky and it was slow. So if you're filling a thing of water, say for a coffee machine in the morning, you're waiting for that little drip to fill your big urn. Okay. This eliminates it. You put this below your counter. We sell these up in kids' bathrooms. We sell them in the main kitchen. The beauty of this is you just connect this to your cold water line from your main faucet. So there's nothing in the counter itself. Every time you turn your cold water on, that is filtering. Okay. Now someone would say, oh gosh, Dennis, it sounds really wasteful. Well, the point of use filters or the filter in your refrigerator is made to filter anywhere between 300 and 700 gallons. Okay. And in that case, we know it's slow, we know it's clunky, and we know in the case of the refrigerator, it's not real filtration. Either way, those filters, replacement filters, are $70, $130. Okay. This unit, it can be right around $399. It can do, there's two models. This one can do 6,000 gallons of cold water. And if you think about when you use cold water in your faucet, cold water is for consuming. You're generally drinking it or rinsing something with it, vegetables, something like that. You're not going to, you know, if you're going to boil something or use hot water, you're not going to drink it. And the beauty here is that's perfect because we didn't tap this filter into the hot water line at all. So it's never using it. It's only using it when you have pure cold running water on. So love the unit. The best part of it is when you connect it to your faucet and you turn on cold water, you get pure streaming flow. Because it's physically larger and the water has more contact time, I could get into filtration and talk to you all day about it. But the bottom line is you'll turn it on high. You'll get a smooth, steady stream. No different than if you didn't have it connected. You'd never notice it. And it fills up urns faster, lemonade pitchers, rinsing vegetables. It's a great, great, great solution to water filtering. People will use these and tee this off. You could tee it off if you wanted to your refrigerator and have pure filtered water at your refrigerator. Then you would truly accomplish what you think you might be drinking out of your fridge and have real filtered water. So.
Yeah, nice, easy solution for sure. Typically easy to install. You know, a lot of times a plumber wouldn't need to do that. But, you know, pretty easy to change the filters too when those need to be changed. Basically twist it off, twist the new one right on. Pretty easy in that sense too.
Yep. Okay. We talked about the air switch. Something we're really excited about. We sorted 100 sets of these. We like them. So air purification, certainly Sharp. We've been talking about Sharp more and more. Brand that we think is on the come up. But making some cool new technology and trying to get into the appliance space. But this is not new for them. You know, air filtration in general for this company, over 100 million sold worldwide. They are kind of the leader. You know, really Alexa-enabled plasma cluster technology. But basically, a lot of filtration is passive, meaning it needs to suck it through a filter. This actually creates positive ions and charges. So it actually goes out and gets the odors, gets the smells, gets the bacteria. Okay. And then that attaches to it and that unit is going to suck it in. So it's an aggressive filtering system. So odors, smells, everything like that. We get so many questions all the time on hood vents in a kitchen. What's going to work the best? So on and so forth. How about you put one of these in addition to your hood? And really now you're taking real odor, smell, contaminants out of your home. What we like about them is the HEPA, they're quiet. So they'll say library quiet. What is that? I've heard them run. They're pretty darn quiet. Okay. Couple of different sizes here. Just to know when you're researching why we like Sharp. Okay. This unit to the left that you see technically could do 2,400 square feet of a home, technically, by the standard UL puts out there for the industry. And what does that mean? That means to be industry, when you can make a claim as to how much square footage you're actually filtering, it says once every hour, you could get that many square feet through your filter. Okay. So this has the plasma technology, HEPA filtration, and what it does when it measures its units, it takes it through four times. So I'm going to tell you, per the industry standard, this would do 2,430 square feet. But per Sharp standard, they would say, this is about 500 square, because they want four times scrubbing through the machine, four times more than the industry average. So this is, hands down, the best air purifier the market has. And it's really cool. And right now, I mean, again, yeah, we sell products, but if you buy the main one, I think the main one's right around $499, you get that little one to the right of it for free.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You could do that. Or you could just buy them as individuals. The point is that I think the small one's like $199 thereabouts, $179-ish kind of thing. Point is, great units, super quiet. If you have never thought about air purifying, you don't like mold, mildew, smell, someone has asthma, someone has allergies, you should give this a whirl. They're very inexpensive and quite amazing.
Yeah, and definitely through, for sure over the last couple of years, something that's been more front and center in people's minds, and people have asked about these sort of machines a lot more, for sure, through COVID and all that, no question. Yeah. All right, so that is all the products we had to go over today.
All right, we got to go through some questions real quick here because I said I would. We answered Jason. Let's go to Nate. Nate asked a question about countertop steam ovens. Mm-hmm. Nate Yagel. Thoughts, buy it instead of a built-in steam oven. I mean, it's not, Nate isn't on our side, but if you're talking about a Sharp steam oven, I believe in it. It's a cooking oven. It can steam. It can do a lot more than just steam. That unit I like. Other than that, I'll be totally transparent to say, aside from the multi-cook steamer that Fran told you about, Wolf, we don't sell any of the others because, honestly, Nate, I think you're throwing away your money. They're gimmicky steamers. The Sharp is a real one. Other than that, I would go to all the ones that you would build in. Okay. So I think there, really, to answer your question, in the Sharp, you can do some things actually you can't even with some of the steamers built in. But, a Gaggenau built-in steamer is amazing. Okay. But a Sharp countertop unit, if you don't want to build it in or can't, is amazing. So I think those are two good options. It really comes back to surfaces. I would just tell you this, when you look at steaming, you need to ask yourself what you're going to do with it. Do you want it for just raw steaming? Pasta, shellfish, vegetables, that type of thing. Or would you prefer something that can truly multi-steam and bake, roast, broil, steam, reheat, rehydrate, That's the things that Gaggenau does in their built-in that Sharp can do. And it can be built-in or countertop, but you asked about a countertop. So they kind of have that technology. The rest are just glorified on the counters. They're just kind of gimmicky. Sorry, anyone I offended, but it's the truth.
Then I think we got one more question from Jason, who asked, how long, years, does a true column last? You mentioned in a previous video that most fridges last 8 to 10 years.
Yeah, that's a great question. We get that question. Let me go through it. I'll tell you that about Thermador. I'll tell you about Miele. I'll tell you about Fisher-Paykel. Built-in product, if we're talking that style product. I don't know. I can tell you as long as they've been out, they've done very well, but they haven't been out long. By long, I mean that company is a very long, over 100-year-old company, a quality company. So True certainly has a track record on the commercial side. On the residential side, it's been a good work, but a work in progress as they went from under-counter to now built-in. So built-in is kind of been built off of that commercial quality story, but how long? On the residential side, no one really knows. It's been out for 3-4 years now, 5 years, mm-hmm. About 4 years, tops for some of those columns. We're selling a tremendous amount. We love this story. We like the leadership. We believe in the brand. But to tell you I have an 8 to 10 year story there, I don't. Okay. A Thermador fridge would be the next question, Jason. That's where I was getting to. Those brands haven't been out much longer than 7 or 8 years. So we don't have 20, 30, 40, 50 years of experience. We like them. The only brand anyone has that with, truthfully, in the true built-in market is Sub-Zero. And they probably have about a 70 or 80. We have a 60-year, 70-year relationship there. The brand's been out forever. That's the only brand we can say tried and true. Now, in terms of, we know many times you see 20, 30 year life expectancies on those things. Before anyone types it, we also know someone else has an experience where it's not that great, or their friend had service repairs. I always ask one same question every single time. It's related to Sub-Zero. How old's the unit? And when they tell me, oh, I just got that unit in 1992. Yeah, okay. We're talking about 30 years, and you would have bought, you know, 8 to 10. We would have bought 3-4 units from somebody else. So did you have a lot of service repairs? Or it lasted 30 years, and you had a service call or two, you know? So it's all kind of relative. Decor, I don't think much about it right now, to be honest. I don't think they're a serious player. They're Samsung. I don't think they're not a serious player, but I think it's a company that's just kind of quick into the market. I don't think much about it right yet. I don't think it's ready for prime time. I don't think it knows what it wants to be. Let me put it to you that way. And I think that's the main reason why we don't sell it, because we don't know to take them seriously yet in terms of their quality and their come to market, stand behind the consumers, because we're a lifetime play, not a flash in the pan play, because we want to get into that market.
Definitely. All right.
As always, you know, I'm going to keep it with clients, advisors. Sorry, everybody.
So one last PSA for everybody too. If you're out there shopping for appliances, specifically looking at BSH brands, Bosch, Thermador, Gaggenau, as we've been talking about a lot here since we've started this and through COVID and product delays, and also when it comes to price increases, you know, a lot coming, and we're starting to see that starting up again. So October 1st, BSH will be having a price increase on all their brands, Bosch, Thermador, Gaggenau. So just a public service announcement there. Definitely, if you're looking, you definitely want to pull the trigger before that, if you can. And secondly, like we say on the screen, just please like and subscribe. We always appreciate the comments, all the feedback that you guys give us, but we'd really appreciate if you can like and subscribe, and that would make us happy. So,
one last thing we're going to tell everybody: in market or out of market, Thermador and Bosch price increase coming up October 1st. Did you say that, Fran?
Yep,
you did.
Just said it.
Did I just? You know what?
This will be a good blooper cut right here. We got to cut this one. Pat and Shannon, right?
I got to do it. I'm sorry, I have to. Do you know where I went right there? I went to Rob Walsh, who was asking a question about makeup air in the kitchen. And I felt like I answered everyone else's question, but I didn't answer Rob's.
So let's get to that one.
Please put his question up there. I faded for a minute, but folks, I was with the show. I just wanted to make sure I answered it for him. Where do you think makeup air should come into the kitchen? As close to the cooktop as possible? No, I don't. Generally, they don't want it that close. They want it down. Generally down or up in the basement. That's really where they want it to be removed out of the kitchen. If you go to an episode, if you look back a couple of weeks ago, we did a whole thing. We had an embedded video. We did a whole series on ventilation. And not to not answer your question, Rob, but we had some pictorials in there. So if you want to go back and look for that one, we have answered that for you and answered it for you in the kitchen. So I think we'll get you answered probably in a better, more thorough way if you just want to scroll through those little chapters, and we've kind of cut out makeup here for you. And hopefully that gets you on the right page. Sorry, Fran, man. I sometimes ignore you. I wasn't trying to intentionally this time, though.
We've all been there. So, specifically ignoring me. So, but that's it. I think that's going to do it for today. We appreciate all the feedback and look forward to seeing you next time. Thanks, Dennis. Awesome. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Take care. Thank you.